toward the former, partly because I wouldn't expect a drug to cure me any more than I expect running to. Also, for me, there's not a clear difference between the two goals. If I'm sad less often, I tend to function better in everyday life. The biggest criticism about antidepressants' effectiveness is that, especially in cases of mild depression, they're either only slightly more or no more effective than placebos. That is, people on an antidepressant may report no more reductions in symptoms than might people taking a placebo. Given the side effects that can accompany antidepressants, such as sexual dysfunction and weight changes, some experts have concluded that the risks outweigh the benefits. It's important to remember that a placebo effect is still an effect. When I told clinical psychiatrist and runner Brian Vasey about Salazar's quick reaction to Prozac, he said, "I wouldn't dispute that he felt better in 3 days. The placebo effect is pretty powerful." This line of thinking should be familiar to runners. Say you committed to getting half an hour more sleep on weeknights in your build-up to your last half marathon, and that you ran faster in that half than in your previous one, despite your training being similar. Did the extra sleep help? Better stated, did sleeping more allow you to better absorb and recover from your training, and therefore improve your fitness come race day? Or was it the idea of the extra sleep? Look how dedicated I am to this race, going to bed earlier to prepare for it, that really made the difference. In the latter scenario, the regular reminder that you were trying to get better could create a positive feedback loop. You tell yourself you're recovering better, so you push a little harder in your workouts, and progress there motivates you to eat a little better, and losing a couple of pounds makes your long runs feel better, and nailing your long runs gets you excited about race day, and so on. The same sort of self-reinforcing cycle is possible with antidepressants. Telling yourself that you're finally doing something about your condition, in this case, taking medication, can be the catalyst for improving that condition. In this vein, it's interesting to note that in trials of antidepressants, placebo effects have greatly increased over time. That increase coincides with growing societal acceptance of the drugs. If you know more people who say they feel better after starting on antidepressants, and if there's less stigma with antidepressants than there used to be, it's possible that a placebo effect is more likely. How do antidepressants affect running? Salazar's story from the mid-1990s made the potential performance-enhancing benefits of antidepressants a common topic in running for a while. While cautioning about such benefits for all the reasons we're about to see, Ekakakis says, theoretically speaking, it would make some sense. There are a lot of indications that serotonin is involved in fatigue, and therefore if you optimize serotonin neurotransmission, it could theoretically change the sense of tiredness. But as Ekakakis told me while we discussed health research in general, how taking antidepressants for their prescribed reasons affects the training and racing of everyday runners isn't the sort of topic that gets priority funding. The pharmaceutical companies that make the medications focus their research on such things as the drug's effectiveness in treating various conditions, relatively benign common side effects, and uncommon but potentially dangerous side effects. Other health researchers need to convince grant providers that their area of inquiry meets an important public health need. Whether Wellbutrin makes a 53-year-old recreational runner like me a little faster or slower in his next race isn't considered vital. The executive summary is that what research there has been is equivocal. There's no mountain of evidence showing that antidepressants significantly improve or decrease exercise performance. Why the uncertainty? One thing about serotonin is you can find people who say the higher the serotonin, the higher the sense of fatigue. And you can find people who say the higher the level, the lower the sense of fatigue, Ekakakis says. So exactly how the serotonin levels and what area of the brain are related to fatigue is unclear. What appears to be clear is that there's some involvement, But that's about the extent of it. Further adding to the lack of clarity, many of the studies have used a smaller number of subjects, which can make extrapolating from them to the population as a whole unreliable. Most of the subjects in the studies were men. Their results wouldn't necessarily be duplicated by women. Some studies have used as subjects athletes who wouldn't merit an antidepressant prescription in real life. Some studies look at elements of exercise performance after a single dosage, which is, of course, not necessarily the same as being on an antidepressant for the rest of your life. Some studies use the maximum safe dosage of an antidepressant, so any effect could be different than at the lower dosage most people take. The motivation behind some of these studies is to see whether antidepressants impart enough of a performance benefit to merit falling under anti-doping regulations in elite sport. As is often the case in the lab, many studies use cycling rather than running as the form of exercise. Some of the studies have all of these elements. They look at the performance of a small number of male cyclists who don't need an antidepressant after a single, safe, maximum dosage. Another caveat is that by necessity, studies use one antidepressant. Even an unambiguous finding about, say, Paxil's effect on core body temperature during hard exercise isn't necessarily transferable to Prozac or Wellbutrin or Lexapro. And before we look at specific studies, it's important to remember just how complex a system your body on the run is. A change in one measurable parameter, such as core body temperature, may or may not result in better or worse performance. Conversely, sometimes lab studies find differences in performance between two conditions, even when variables such as blood glucose levels and carbohydrate metabolism are the same. This ambiguity can be frustrating if you're looking for clear black and white answers, but it's heartening for those of us who consider running performance more than the predictable outcome of a series of quantifiable inputs. Studies on endurance performance tend to use either time trials, how fast you can complete a given distance, or time to exhaustion trials, how long you can sustain a given exercise intensity. Time trials are generally more applicable to the real world. They're a solo simulation of racing. While few of us encounter situations where we run at a set pace for as long as possible and then stop when we have to slow. When the studies have been conducted in normal environmental conditions, Prozac, Paxil, Celexa, and Wellbutrin have not improved time trial or time to exhaustion performance. In one study, the more aerobically fit subjects performed significantly worse on a time-to-exhaustion cycling trial after taking a single 20 milligram dose of Paxil. There has been research indicating that a single large dose, 300 milligrams, considered the maximum safe amount, of Zyban improves performance in very hot conditions. Zyban is a brand name for bupropion, which is what's also in Wellbutrin. In one study done in conditions of 86 degrees Fahrenheit and 48% humidity, men rode almost 5% faster in a cycling time trial when they took that maximal dosage of Zyban instead of a placebo. A similar study with women duplicated the findings. The performance benefit didn't follow more normal doses, 150 or 225 milligrams. Of note, is that after all the Zyban time trials, the subject's core temperature was higher. At the end of the maximum dose trial, their heart rate was higher, which makes sense given that they wound up riding faster. The researchers wrote, "Despite an increase in core temperature and improved performance in the maximal dose, there was no change in perceived effort and thermal sensation, suggesting an altered motivation or drive to continue." Again, though, this was a single safe maximum dose given to people who didn't necessarily merit a prescription. That's more the stuff of doping than real-world relevance. When the same researchers repeated the study after subjects took Zyban for 10 days, the performance benefit wasn't duplicated. and the subject's core temperature wasn't as high as during the single-dosage study. It seems that chronic administration results in an adaptation of central neurotransmitter homeostasis, resulting in a different response to the drug, the researchers wrote. Probably the more important finding stemming from that research is the increase in core temperature after taking Zyban. A study involving Paxil in warm conditions also found an increase in core temperature. In the Zyban study, the finding that the athlete's thermal sensation didn't change means that they didn't feel hotter despite a higher core temperature. Such a mismatch could lead to the improved performance seen in the acute study, but it could also lead to problems if you're doing a long run on an 85-degree day and don't feel warm, even though your core temperature is approaching a dangerous level. Heat intolerance is among the potential side effects listed for some antidepressants, including Wellbutrin and other brands of bupropion. We'll return to this matter later in the chapter. So far, we've looked at research on how antidepressants might affect your running. This field of inquiry, how drugs affect the body, is known as pharmacodynamics. But what about flipping the equation? Are there ways in which being a runner can affect the antidepressant you might be taking? Might runners need different dosages than sedentary people? After all, prescriptions often take into account physical traits of the patient, such as age, weight, ethnicity, and pregnancy status. Given that exercise is often recommended in conjunction with other treatments for depression and anxiety, and given that many of us are self-medicating with running, the issue of whether regular running might alter an antidepressant's efficacy is hardly esoteric. Unfortunately, the relevant research on what's known as pharmacokinetics, how bodies affect drugs, is even more scant concerning antidepressants and athletes. One of the few people to investigate the issue is Ethan Ruderman. For his master's thesis in kinesiology at the University of Toronto, Ruderman examined whether exercise appeared to affect bodily processing of a single dose of sertraline, most commonly known by the brand name Zoloft. Ruderman had 14 men in their 20s take 100 milligrams of sertraline on two occasions, at least 2 weeks apart, once while resting and once before cycling for 30 minutes at a moderate intensity. Ruderman collected blood samples over the ensuing 48 hours. When the men exercised after taking the medication, the elimination half-life of the drug changed. That is, it remained in their body longer. Part of the explanation for this finding could be differences in blood flow when we're resting versus working out. When you run, blood is diverted from some body parts to working muscles to supply them with more oxygen, and the skin to help with cooling. That phenomenon is why it can be unpleasant to run too soon after eating. The usual blood flow to your stomach is reduced, so food just sits there instead of being digested. When you run, there's also a lot less blood going to your liver, which plays a key role in metabolizing medications. It's possible, then, running could slow the rate at which you metabolize antidepressants, or other medications for that matter. It's also possible that long-term changes brought on by being a runner, such as greater density of the tiny blood vessels known as capillaries and lower body fat concentration, could affect how a drug makes its way through your body. Ruderman is careful not to make definitive statements about the implications of his study. Instead, he hopes his work will spur more research on and awareness of how exercise might affect medication's effectiveness. Both the acute bouts of exercise and the fact that people might be a marathoner with a very different fitness status should be included in the conversation, along with height, weight, age, ethnicity, when you're talking about dosage, he says. In my work as a running journalist and book author, I often read research on exercise performance. A big takeaway from decades of doing that is that exercise science is sometimes most helpful in explaining what runners already do, as opposed to discovering what runners should do. For example, runners were doing tempo runs, 3 to 6 miles at a comfortably hard pace, somewhere between 15-kilometer and marathon race pace, long before exercise scientists delineated that these runs can improve your ability to clear lactate, an adaptation that helps you hold a strong pace for longer. That's how I think about the current state of research on running and antidepressants. We runners will figure it out in the ultimate lab of daily road work. Ideally, researchers will one day explain the why. But for now, the best we have to go on are one another's experiences. So, here is mine and those of several fellow runners. My experience as a runner on antidepressants. I first saw a psychiatrist in early 1995. I later learned he wasn't accepting new patients, but as a runner, he was intrigued about working with the editor of Running Times, the magazine I was then the editor of. Before the end of our initial session, he said I was a good candidate for an antidepressant. I was initially prescribed Zoloft. Like Salazar, I felt almost immediate effects, but of the opposite sort, a near catatonic haze that made me feel like I was pawing through a stream of molasses. For several days, I canceled all work and social plans and spent almost all my time in bed. Almost. I got out for a dutiful 3-mile jog each day. The severity of the haze eventually lessened, but never disappeared. And after a month, I started cycling off Zoloft. Next, I tried Prozac. Within a month, 3 long-time features of my dysthymia abated. First, I slept better. Pre-Prozac, I woke several times a night, usually with one or more of those occurrences lasting for a while. While awake, I would cram a day's worth of rumination into a half an hour. What is the point of going about my business tomorrow? Why is everything so hard? Why can't I enjoy life the way others seem to? Is this how it's going to be the next 50 years? Once I was on Prozac, those incidents continued, but weren't as frequent because I wasn't awake every hour. Second, Prozac seemed to do its trademark thing of eliminating the lowest lows. My 1,000-yard stare days, when it felt as if a backhoe loader had scraped out the happier parts of my brain and left a pit, almost entirely went away. Finally, for the preceding several years, I'd often felt like one of those figurine toys held together by string that collapse when you push on the bottom. Being on Prozac, I told my psychiatrist, made me feel tauter, more efficient in navigating the world, that nobody was pressing on the bottom of the string toy. Interesting, he replied. You're the second person this week to mention those toys. Side effects seemed minimal. I lost a pound or two, unnecessary but not detrimental for a 130-pounder, and my libido dropped, overall a welcome change for a single 31-year-old man without a girlfriend. I waited for a Salazar-esque running resurgence, but it never came, even with markedly better sleep. In fact, the only discernible effect on my running was negative. Once on Prozac, I stopped digging down that last 1 or 2% in the final third of races. After the first few times it happened, I wondered whether the phenomenon was physiological or psychological. With more time on the medication, I decided it was the latter. As I said, Prozac lopped off my lowest lows, which was much appreciated. The price for that was paid from the other end of the spectrum. I also lost my highest highs. Prozac made me more nonchalant, less intense about pretty much everything, including, I realized, whether I ran that weekend's 5K 7 seconds faster. Several years later, Olympian Adam Goucher reported the same running reaction to an antidepressant. Goucher eventually said that, as a professional athlete, he couldn't justify that effect, and went off the medication. In my early 30s, and very focused on my work when I went on Prozac, I knew I was a few years past setting my last personal record. I decided any trade-off of racing a little slower for overall life improvement was worth it for me. I might have decided differently if I'd thought I still had some PRs in me. A side note, I never regained that lost edge, even during times I wasn't on antidepressants. One thing that did happen as soon as I started taking antidepressants, I decided to be open about it. My analogy at the time was that my father had an inherited cholesterol problem that merited medication, and I had an inherited mental health issue that merited medication. Why should I be any more coy or secretive about the treatment of my condition than my father was about his? Soon after, I wrote a short essay about my dysthymia and medication for Running Times. The reaction mainly took two forms. I heard from people thanking me for my candor, and heard from others saying I was a head case who was looking for an easy way to avoid life's problems. Both types of responses bolstered my decision to be open and potentially play a small part in reducing the stigma of mental health issues and their many forms of treatment. For the next decade and a half, I cycled on and off Prozac. Despite my cholesterol medication analogy, there was always part of me that didn't like the idea of taking a pill every day for the rest of my life. Every few years, I'd feel ready to try life without Prozac. Varying amounts of time would pass until I'd realize the balance between good enough days and too miserable days was once again out of whack, independent of the state of my running, my marriage, and other aspects of life. When I slumped into their office, no doctor ever needed convincing to write me a prescription. But each time, Prozac seemed less effective. In the spring of 2011, I started on it again. That turned out to be the last time. As I've mentioned, my dysthymia has never majorly interfered with my professional productivity. But this time, Prozac did. I'd sit in front of my laptop and watch myself not care that I didn't care I was goofing off instead of working. Deadlines came and went. Emails went unanswered. Collaborative projects arrived at my desk to die. And all I felt capable of doing was thinking, well, isn't this interesting? To be clear, I don't really like working, but I'd always been dependable. Now, I felt like a stoner. It was the first time a medication made me feel like someone other than myself. I cycled off Prozac, started taking Wellbutrin, and still do. It's had no noticeable effect on my running, good or bad. I've always been a ridiculously heavy sweater, so if Wellbutrin has made my heat tolerance worse, I'm unaware of it. I might feel differently if I lived in Texas, not Maine. More important, the medication seems to help with daily life with minimal side effects, resting heart rate increase of a few beats, occasional light sensitivity, so I'd probably stay on it even if I felt it made me a worse hot weather runner. That trade-off would be acceptable nearly 4 decades into my running career. For the foreseeable future, I'm over my trepidation about permanently being on an antidepressant. Other runners' experiences with antidepressants. There's great variance in how other runners feel on and about antidepressants. For Ryan Rathbun, an engineer from Chicago, antidepressants improved his running in the most direct way possible, by helping him get off the couch and out the door. Rathbun ran track in middle school and high school, then mostly switched to other sports, including rugby, in college. When I got out in the working world, all that exercise stuff kind of faded away, he says. There were at least 10 years where I did nothing. I grew fatter and more depressed, started drinking too much, and just slowly went downhill. I had relationship problems and an existential crisis, and hit rock bottom. His then-partner told Rathbun, "You need to change," and he agreed. Rathbun had been on antidepressants, Prozac and Wellbutrin, before, with mixed results. Working with a therapist, he started on Cymbalta, and once he got the dosage right, felt a profound difference. All the other times were, "Yeah, I'm better, but eh," he says. This one was, "Oh, this is how normal people feel? This is a lot different." After some time on the medication, Rathbun was drinking less and eating better, including no longer binge eating. He thought, "Hey, I've lost a ton of weight here. I could start exercising again." He picked a goal race and revived his running career. He's now a competitive age group racer, especially in skyscraper stairwell climbs. "It doesn't feel like I'm relying on this," he says about his current medication. "I feel like the person I always thought I was or should be." Like Rathbun, Rebecca Skocelos, a school psychologist from a Detroit suburb, started regular running only after going on antidepressants. But she says her running doesn't necessarily stem from her medications, Lexapro and Wellbutrin. "I began taking meds 3 weeks after my second child was born and began running just a few months later," she says, of taking up the sport in 2007. "I can tell you that there is no way that the meds sufficiently address all my symptoms. When I have had a really rough day, there is nothing that can help me like a good hard run. And there is no way that the immediate high and satisfaction I get from a long run is only from the meds." The biggest effect of medication on her running the 7-time marathoner notices is that she has, she says, an easier time staying motivated when the med situation is under control. Skocelos had surgery in 2016 to remove a large cancerous tumor. She increased her dosage because of increased anxiety. But, she says, running, not medication, really brought her around. "I did not feel normal again until I was back to running." Jeff Lee, an accountant from Hartsel, Alabama, says that his medication helps his running, but he discovered that's the case in a roundabout way. Lee has been on Effexor and occasionally Klonopin for more than 10 years for chronic depression and anxiety. He began running a few years ago at the age of 49 to lose weight and improve his health. Late in 2016, he decided to stop taking his medications. "I had been on it a long time, was healthier, and was running 30 to 35 miles per week, so I hoped I didn't need it anymore," he says. Within a couple of weeks, Lee reports, his mental state was what it had been a decade ago. "I can't tell I'm on it until I'm off it." He resumed taking the medications, and during the several weeks it took for them to take effect, "it was everything I could do to make myself run, but I did," Lee says. He realized, "I run more and have more interest in running while using my medicine." The intersection of Allie Nolan's running and medication is more complex. A former Runner's World colleague of mine, the Dallas resident, went on Lexapro in 2016 to address increasingly intrusive anxiety. The medication vastly improved her non-running life. "I no longer have reoccurring thoughts of doom or the feeling of being trapped," Nolan says. "Most days I can get to sleep. I also can do my work without having to take 40 breaks to make dozens of checklists. I can read again, kind of important for a writer slash editor." Things were more complicated with her running. Nolan says she has been able to enjoy her running more after going on medication, and that overall this was a welcome development. "For a very, very long time, running was the only thing that I used to manage my symptoms. That lasted until I realized I was running too much and running a lot of garbage miles, and that running itself was becoming a sort of compulsion and source of anxiety. But greater balance came with some costs in performance, especially at the end of races. I think that I am moving slower than I used to," she says. "Also, I eat a lot more cake now. Seriously, the sweet cravings are terrible. I estimate I've gained 5 pounds. In general, the problem is that I'm so relaxed about it," Nolan says. "If I miss a run, I shrug it off. I used to get really upset about missing miles and would fret about it for days. To avoid that feeling, I wouldn't skip a day. Now I'm so casual about it. I think that that might be because the run isn't carrying such weight in my mental wellness anymore. It's purely for enjoyment and fitness. Before, if I missed a run, I would feel like the world was ending. Plus, I'd feel like a failure because I missed the run. Now I guess I'm more like a normal person." Nolan says she's willing to accept the trade-offs for now, given that overall her life has improved. "But," she says, "if I ever felt too sluggish or too apathetic to run, that would be an issue. I suppose if I dipped under 12 miles per week and didn't care, I'd have my husband check my pulse to make sure I was still alive." We'll end this admittedly unscientific survey with Amelia Gappin, who has an interesting take on how antidepressants improve her running. She has always valued how her usual depressive and anxious ruminations eventually disappear when she runs, now that welcome process starts sooner. It doesn't seem to take as long into a run for the depression and anxiety to lift away, Gappin says, since starting on medication, a lot of the low-level background daily stuff is diminished, so when I go for a run, I'm starting in a much better place. Mentally, I might be starting where before I'd be at like 2 miles into a run. Opting out. In interviewing runners for this book, I heard from several who have eschewed antidepressants. Some, like Cecilia Bidwell of Tampa, Florida, don't like the idea of taking psychotropic drugs and find that their running and other practices sufficiently manage their condition. Bidwell, who has anxiety, says, "I don't mean this in any way as judgment of people who go that route, but I do think that things like SSRIs alter brain chemistry. For some people, that's necessary to get through the day. But if I can get enough sleep, if I can keep my job under control, if I can get out and run every day, I can handle all that, and life is good, and I shouldn't have to resort to something else. This is the real me, and I'm afraid medication would change my personality and make me someone I'm not." My running partner, Kristen Berry, has a similar take. When her lifelong depression became especially strong in her first year of law school, Berry tried medication, but stopped after 2 weeks. "They made me feel like I had too much caffeine, jittery, on edge, shaky," she says. "I was hesitant to take medication anyway, so it was easy to stop when I felt like I was having a bad reaction." In the 2 decades since, Berry has relied on her running. She's a 2-hour, 40-minute marathoner who twice qualified for the Olympic marathon trials, and therapy to manage her depression. When she was setting personal bests earlier this decade, some of her reluctance came from concern about how medication might affect her running. "I told her many times about how antidepressants seemed to rob me of the desire to go to the well late in races. These days," she says, "my reluctance stems from a general avoidance, if possible, of all medications. I do not like the idea of messing with my brain chemistry, even though what I am working with is not an ideal brain chemistry to have. I realize that's not a great mentality. It's kind of like ignoring a wound. I try to manage it as best as I can without meds, but if I were to have another episode like 1997, I would not be against taking them, especially now as a parent." Brian Frayne, a mutual fund analyst from Milwaukee, is uneasy about the bodily effects of medication, and not just antidepressants. "I'm concerned about altering my body's chemistry," he says. "I've always been averse to any medication. I don't even take aspirin. I understand that medications are designed to help, but I'm always concerned about how things will interact long term. Antidepressants in general can be extremely powerful, and the long-term side effects can't be known at this time. I worry about them throwing my entire system off balance, which will undoubtedly hurt my running in the end." Another of my running partners, Heather Johnson, also tries to avoid medications of any type, despite a lifetime of sometimes severe anxiety. "One of the biggest reasons I haven't really gone down the med route is that I have a fear of side effects. I don't really take anything, including herbal remedies," she says. When I asked her what would constitute unacceptable interference from medication in her running, she said, "Within reason, I'd say anything is unacceptable interference. Running is my sanity. I have to put it first and realize that it helps me cope with so much. I'm a better mom, wife, and friend if I run." A true experiment of one. All of the aforementioned, antidepressants' effectiveness versus their side effects, how medication might affect your running, and runners' varying experiences with antidepressants, underlies the lack of black-and-white rules on how to proceed here. Common side effects of antidepressants, such as weight gain or loss, dry mouth, and drowsiness, as well as rarer ones, such as heat intolerance,